Spirit to help us. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I want you to actually read it with me, first three verses. Are you ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then look in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to read verse 1 again. In the beginning was the what? The Word. And the what? The Word was with God, and the what? Word was God. I want to preach this morning on Jesus Christ, the Word. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your house. God, I thank You for Your people. Lord, I pray You'd please help us today. Lord, we desire to preach, Lord, upon the subject of Your Son. God, we ask that You'd please help us to preach, not for our glory, not for the glory of our church, but, Lord, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would bind Satan today. Lord, I pray that You would loose us of every distraction. God, I pray that You would touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'd prick our hearts. Lord, I pray You'd help us just to have church today. Lord, to focus on nothing else but Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that You'd give us hope. If there's some needing hope today, God, I pray You'd give that to them. If there's somebody needing to be saved today, God, I pray that You'd save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a mind to consider You. Lord, I pray that You'd revive us. Lord, help us to think upon Christ today and consider Him. And we'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing today. John chapter number 1. We're reading in the last of the four Gospels of Jesus Christ today. We know the four Gospels at the very beginning of our New Testament. They go as follows. The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and the book of John. These are all the Gospels of Jesus Christ. They're all about one person. They tell one story. They're all about one life, and that is the life of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We know that these four Gospels are the same person in the same life, but they're given to us by different people that saw His life through different eyes and through different lives and through different viewpoints. But they all come together as one story, and they tell us all about the story of Jesus Christ. Friend, if it were not for Christ, the Bible would be a pointless book today. But friend, I have news for you that this book is all about one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's what this Bible is all about. These books are all about Christ's life, especially, but they're written from different viewpoints. Let me give you just a quick background very briefly before we get into the text today. I want you to think about who they were written by. The book of Matthew, of course, was written by Matthew. This book was written mainly to the Jews. It had a viewpoint of the life of Christ that would speak very clearly to the Jews. The book of Matthew shows especially how that Christ is the King of the Jews. The book of Matthew focuses on Old Testament prophecies that Christ fulfilled, and Matthew showed that Christ, number one, was the King of the Jews. And so, not only this, then you get into the book of Matthew and then Mark. And Mark was written maybe not so much towards the Jews, but to a viewpoint that many of the Romans could take part in and understand better. The book of Mark showed Christ as a servant. The book of Matthew showed Christ as the King. It showed His kingliness and how He was the King of the Jews and how He was King of Kings and how He was Lord of Lords. But the book of Mark showed Christ as a humble servant. The book of Mark was all about the acts and the deeds of Christ and what He did to serve others. It does not begin with His birth, but it begins with His ministry. The book of Luke, it shows a different side to Christ. It shows Christ not only as the King of the Jews, and it shows Mark shows Him to be the servant Luke shows him to be the Son of Man. Luke showed that Jesus Christ became, not only was he 100% God, but he became 100% man. Christ took on flesh and came in the likeness of sinful flesh that he might walk and he might dwell among us. But the book of John was written from a different aspect than all of these. The book of Matthew shows him to be the King of the Jews. The book of Mark shows him to be the servant, a humble servant. The book of Luke shows him to be the Son of Man. But the book of John, its primary purpose is to show that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of the living God. Friend, the other books show us things, and they all show us who Christ is. But in Matthew, he's the King of the Jews, an earthly king. In the book of Mark, he's a servant. In the book of Luke, he's 100% man. But friend, the book of John is all about showing us that Jesus is all of these things. But above all of these things, Jesus Christ ultimately is God himself. Friend, may I remind you today that I don't serve a man. I don't serve a mere teacher. I don't serve a mere king of the Jews. I don't serve a mere servant. I don't serve just a man, but I serve one who is God himself today, and that's what the book of John is all about. And so John begins where all of them begin. He begins with the beginning. The book of Matthew, he begins with the genealogy of Christ all the way back to Abraham. Right? The book of Matthew goes from Christ and his parents all the way back from Mary, all the way back to Abraham. That goes back pretty far. But then the book of Luke, it goes back even further. It traces the genealogy of Christ all the way back past Abraham, and it brings it all the way to Adam. The book of Mark brings it right to the beginning of his ministry. But you know where the book of John begins? It does not begin at his birth. It does not begin at the beginning of his ministry. It does not begin with Abraham. And it does not begin with Adam. You know where the book of John begins with? It begins with the beginning. You say, why is that? Because John is trying to show us today that Jesus Christ is not just a man, but that Jesus Christ is God. And he wants us to remember that before there was ever a John the Baptist, and before there was ever an Abraham, before there was ever an Adam, before there was ever an earth, before there was ever a beginning, there was Jesus Christ. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is showing us that Jesus Christ was there before all of us. He was there before Adam. He was there before creation. He was there in the beginning. He was there before the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's showing us that the beginning began with Christ. He was there. He was equally God. Friend, he wants us to see, number one, that he is eternally God. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is eternal. Jesus Christ did not begin whenever he was conceived by the Holy Ghost and Mary. Friend, Jesus Christ was there with God in eternity's past. He was there before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. He was one with God. He wants us to see that he was eternally God, but he wants us to see that he was equally God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word what? Was with God. There, Christ was with God. He is equally God. And then he wants us to know that Christ is essentially God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. Because Christ is God. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily today. Friend, we need to realize there are many cults today. There are many people that would like to belittle the position of Christ, but we must understand that we serve a God and a Christ who is not a mere man, but he is God himself. The Trinity is one, and Christ is not under God. Christ is God. Before the beginning ever began, Christ was there in the beginning. He wants us to know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Not only was Christ there in the beginning and before the beginning, but Christ was the one who created the beginning. He is the creative force of the Godhead. You remember there in John, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." You say, who spoke? I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the one who spoke was Jesus Christ. He is the mouth of the Trinity, and He is the light of the Trinity. Friend, it was He who spoke light into existence, and it was Him that was that light before the sun ever came into being. It was Christ. He is God Himself. But friend, I want you to notice today what especially caught my eye was that title for Christ here. He is the Word. I want to preach on this for a few minutes. We'll be done. I don't know what somebody may be needing here today, but I can tell you this, we all need Christ. So I want you to listen to a few things that God's given us today. We'll be done. I want you to look at this title, this position, Christ is the Word. Why would God use that? I want you to think about words for just a minute. They're amazing things, ain't they? That probably wasn't proper wordage, but words are amazing things, are they not? If there were no words in this life, I reckon that life would still be possible, but life might not be worth living if there were no words. I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, words are one of the great things that separate mankind from every other animal in the animal kingdom. Words are what separate mankind from animals. The communication of animals is limited to barks and growls, grunts, screeches and noises, but God has given man the ability to take all kinds of different sounds and to put them together intelligently and to form words with meaning that express our thoughts and our ideas. That's something that's amazing. We don't think about it because we've spoke ever since we were just little kids. But the fact that God's given us the ability to take and to make words that express what is in our heart and what is in our thoughts is an amazing thing. So friend, that's what words are today. Words are verbal expressions of ideas or thoughts that are inside our hearts. I want you to think about words today. Words represent what that we are thinking. Is that right? Isn't it amazing how you learn words as a young child? And you learn them, and once you learn them, you never unlearn them. They're always there, planted inside of your brain and your memory and how you think. I mean, even right now, while you're thinking, you are thinking using words today. I mean, right? I mean, you're talking to yourself in your brain using words. Once you learn words and associate them with your thoughts and your ideas, they never separate from those things, or they're very hard to. Some of you are thinking to yourself right now, and it's going something like this. I wonder what's for lunch today after church. Cancel those words out of your mind. Amen? They say in statistics and studies show that men and women alike use an average of 15,000 to 16,000 words a day. There was an old study, they said it was wrong, apparently, that women talk three times as much as men. Women, I've got news, apparently that's wrong information. We speak about the same. That's where the women are supposed to say amen. That makes 5.5 million words a year that we speak to express our thoughts, our ideas. We have a word for anything that you can possibly think of. Right now, if you were to think of anything that you possibly could, there would be a word in your brain to describe that, would there not? And if there ever comes around a new thought that nobody's ever thought before, then we'll think up a word to go with that thought, don't we? Yep. That's why we make new dictionaries every year. What am I trying to get at? I guess here's what I'm getting at. We understand what words are. They're an amazing thing that God's given us to communicate with one another. But because of what words are, they become so much more than just words. Because our words represent our thoughts, that means that our words represent us, don't they? Words, listen to this, are the manifestation of your inner person. They are the manifestation of our inner man. We all see each other today, right? We all dressed up, we cleaned up, we shined up our hair, and we put our makeup on, we put our suits on, and we all see the outer man. But friend, the truth of the matter is that I cannot see your mind, I cannot see your heart, I cannot see your soul, I cannot see your spirit, I cannot see your thoughts, or your intentions, or your concerns, or your questions, or your passions, or your desires, or your affections. Why? Because your inner man is hidden, and it is locked up from anybody else. But friend, there is a way that God's given us that we might go and see the inner souls of each other. You say, how is that? That is words. Through words, we can know each other's inner person. Stick with me here. To manifest means to reveal something, to shed light. Words are the manifestation of our inner man. They are the presentation, the declaration, the revealing of what's inside of us. Words are the only way for our inner man to know and be known by others. Without words, there would be no relationships, there would be no fellowship, there would be no friendship. If it were not for words, it is words that build marriages, it is words that build families, it is words that have built empires, it is words that we use today. I remember whenever I met my wife, not too long ago, 3 years ago now, and I remember thinking she was the most beautiful thing in the world, and she still is today. I remember when I used to catch myself staring at her in church, and I know none of y'all do that today, and you're not doing that, but I remember when I used to do that. And I love the feeling that I got whenever I do that, and all the heart pitter-patter and the flutter, this and that. You know what I'm talking about, the butterflies in your stomach, and that was all great, and that was nice. And I remember what I thought when I saw her, how beautiful that she was. But friend, the truth of the matter is, what I saw really didn't mean much of anything. I mean, she was beautiful, but I didn't know if she was a good person or a bad person, if she was a Christian girl or not Christian. The way that I got to know my wife was by words, right? I mean, these are common sense things. It was by our words that I got to see not just who she was outwardly, but who she was inwardly. And time out right there. You kids, you're getting ready for dating age. Please do not base your dating and your relationships on how a person looks. They can be cute, and they can be a hoodlum. Amen goes right there. Base it off of their words. What they say, are they saved? Do they go to church? Do they love the Lord? Are they honest? Are they truthful? Are they nice? I mean, the list could go on. Do not base it off of their looks. Base it off of their words. But words is how my wife got to know me. And aren't you men thankful that they have our words? Because if they just had what we look like, I mean, we'd be lost, right? Amen. You can laugh this morning. Help me preach, somebody. I'll get to the sermon in just a second if you'll help me. Our words are not just expressions of our thoughts. They aren't just expressions of our ideas. They are gateways into our soul. Your words tell on you. Your words are who you are. You are defined by what comes out of your mouth. Stick with me. You say, how is that? In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Now follow the logic. The Bible says that what you think is what you are, right? Jesus went further. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, he said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. So what you think in your heart is who you are, right? Nobody else sees your thoughts, but what you think automatically will come out of your mouth. And your words then carry forth who you are in your heart. Your words are the manifestation of who you are inside. Nobody else can see it, but they see it through your words. You say, what if somebody lies? You can lie and you can be a hypocrite, but I'll tell you this, one time or another later, your words will tell on you and they will show somebody who you really are. It don't matter how hard you try. You say, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is this. Our words are gateways to our inner man. They are the manifestation of our inner person. And friend, you need to realize that God has made us this way because we are made in the image of the perfect, true, and the living God. You realize that God gave us the special ability to speak and to make language because that is how God operates. God is a person who wants to and is willing to speak with us. We have words because God uses words today. That is made in the image of God. Friend, you need to realize today that God is not just some cosmic force outside in the universe. God is not some karma. God is not the universe around us. God is not a material thing. But friend, you need to realize that God is a person. He is a person with a personality and a spirit that desires to speak with us. Friend, aren't you thankful we don't serve a deaf God, but he's a God that hears our prayers when we call unto him. We don't serve a blind God, but we serve a God who sees us right where we are. And friend, we don't serve a mute God. We serve a God who desires to speak with us. He is the God who sees. He is the God who hears. And he is the God who speaks unto us today. Friend, do you realize that the same God who spoke the universe into existence desires to speak with you today? The same God that upholds all things by the word of his power, he wants to have a word with you today. The same God who spoke peace to the storm wants to speak peace to you. We've got a God that wants to communicate, and God made us to communicate ultimately that we might communicate with him. Let me say this, if you're using your words for everybody else but Christ, then you're missing out on why God made us. God made us for friendship, fellowship, relationship. All of this is accomplished by words. But you need to realize there is a friendship, there is a relationship, there is a fellowship that is above all others. And that is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is your fellowship with him. That is your friendship with him. And it can only be accomplished by words today. God has made a bridge between him and us. Friend, God speaks your language today. God speaks English. God speaks Spanish. God speaks Hebrew, Greek, all the rest of them. Friend, God wants to speak to us today. God has taken great measures to speak to you today. But man has been running from the words of God since the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, after man fell into sin, it says they heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from him. Ever since then, mankind has been running from the voice of God. But friend, I want you to know that God is still speaking to us today, desiring to communicate with us. Friend, I realize that in times past, God has spoken to us by many great prophets in our history. There have been men like Abraham and like Moses and Enoch and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and all these prophets that God has set apart that he might speak to his people by these men. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, he said the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Friend, ever since the Garden of Eden, God cannot talk to us verbally there, but he has spoke to us, number one, by his prophets. He has given his word to them and planted it inside of them that they might speak his word unto us. Friend, you need to realize that in today's time, God has made a very special way to speak with us. God has spoken to us not just by the prophets of old, but He has spoken to us by the written holy word of God. You need to realize that God has sent you a letter today, something that we may hold and possess and study. Friend, can I say what a wonderful word that this book is? This book is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Friend, it's a precious book. It's a profitable book. It's a powerful book. It is God's mind and heart and desires and thoughts towards you that He's written down for us. Friend, you know why God's written this book? Because God wants to have a word with you. God wants to communicate with you today. But I want you to realize this. God has taken many different forms to speak with us today. In the days of old, He spoke to men upon Mount Sinai covered in a cloud. He spoke in a burning bush. He spoke in a whirlwind and all these things. But you need to realize that we have received the greatest revelation of God that no man has ever received before. Friend, God has sent us His prophets and God has sent us His scriptures. But God Himself has sent us His Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, you realize God's given us verbally, the prophets have given us His word. Written down, God's given us His word. But friend, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might physically and literally give us the very word of God in the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 1, listen, He said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past, unto the fathers by the prophets. Listen, He said that He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He said that Christ is the express image of God's power. You say, what is that? God sent us His word through prophets. God has sent us His word through His word. But you need to realize that God has sent us something greater than all of these things. He has sent us the living word of God, Jesus Christ. His word could not be any more real and personal to us than if He visited us in the flesh. Friend, it's something whenever somebody sends you a text. It's another thing when somebody calls you. It's another thing when somebody sends you a letter, but it's another thing entirely when somebody comes to where you are and they make a visit to where you are. Friend, you need to realize that God has done every single thing that He can do to reach out to us, including coming right to where we are and manifesting Himself in the flesh. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, He said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. You need to realize that Christ is the Word of God. Why is He the Word? Words manifest our inner person. Christ manifested God's inner person. No man hath seen God, but the Son of God has declared God unto us. Why? Because He is the Word. That's why He's called the Word, because He manifests God unto us. What does that word mean? It means to reveal. What does He say there in the book of John chapter 14 in verse number 9? He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. In John 1:18, He said, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath what? Declared Him. Christ is the Word. Words are the manifestation of our inner man. Christ is the manifestation of God. He's the Word. Words are the gateway to our souls. And Christ is the gateway to the Father. Christ is the door to the Father. He is the Word of God. Friend, we know each other today by words. And if you're here today and you don't know God, the only way that you'll know God is by Jesus Christ, because He is the Word, the communication between God and man. When Aaron prayed for God to save him, God heard his prayer because he prayed believing in Jesus Christ. And He's the Word that bridges the gap between God and man. if there were God and man with no Christ, it would be like you and me with no words in between us. You could see, but you could never know. Words allow for relationships, friendships, fellowships. Christ is the only way to have a relationship and fellowship and friendship with God. In John 14:9, he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." He is the Word of God. Through Christ, we see the very heart and the very mind and the very desire of God towards man. If it were not for Christ, we could never know God. You say, "Revis, if it weren't for Christ, we'd still have the Bible. We'd still have the prophets." Friend, if it were not for the living Word, then the written Word would mean nothing to us. Because he said in Hebrews, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Friend, the written Word is all about the living Word. If there were no living Word, there would be no bridge between God and man. Amen. Go somewhere in there. Friend, you need to realize that God has given us an opportunity to know Him, to speak with Him. God has reached out to us by form of Jesus Christ. He is God's Word to us. Notice He's called the Word, not a word, not one of the words. He is the Word. Why? Christ has so perfectly, and Christ has so completely displayed to us all of the holiness and the glory and grace and mercy and truth and love and beauty and wonder and majesty and might of God. He has so perfectly displayed all of these attributes of God that if God could only choose one word to describe Himself, He would use the word Christ. Christ is the Word. Friend, you need to realize that if our Bibles were shut, never to be opened again, if there was no other word that God gave to us, He'd only have to give us one word, and that is Christ. Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead. All God would have had to do is send His Son and say, "Christ, Jesus." Because Christ is God. He is everything that God is. And He's told us everything there is to know about God. God has reached out to us by His Son. To know Christ is to know God. He is the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 19, one of the last chapters in your Bible, His title is the Word of God. Because He's God's communication to us. God has reached out. Friend, if there were no Christ, there'd be no point in this Bible. There'd be no point in church today. My question is this, and I promise you I'm done. God has reached out to you. God has done every single thing that He can. God's still reaching out by the preaching of His Word. And I understand that maybe not everybody's fond of maybe this style of preaching. I understand that nobody maybe likes whenever the preacher gets loud. But friend, all I can do is preach how God's called me to preach. And I hope that you're not upset that I'm excited about Jesus Christ. So friend, you take it or you leave it, but you need to understand this, that Christ has spoken to you. God's done everything that He can for you to get to know Him, for you to come unto Him. Friend, this book is the book of truth. It was written by the Spirit of truth for the purpose of guiding us into all truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. You know something about words? They go both ways, don't they? I speak so you know about me. You speak so I know about you. Friend, God's spoken to you. When are you going to speak back? Let me ask you a question. If God speaks to you and you never speak back, if God invites you to be saved and you never respond, then why are we mad at God for people going to hell? Friend, God's given us a chance today. I can run into your house and it's burning down and I can tell you, "Hey, your house is on fire." But if you knowingly do not respond to what I've told you, then it's your fault, not mine. God's done everything He can. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. They're going to be turning off these cameras. Nobody's going to be looking, watching, peeking. I want you to realize today that Jesus Christ loves you. He is the way to be saved. God wants you to know Him. I remember speaking with a man. We put a piece of furniture up for sale on Marketplace. He came to buy it. And as I began to speak to him, I told him that I was a pastor and a preacher. And he began to tell me, he said, I have my own relationship with God. He said, I like God out in nature. He said, but the Bible and that Jesus stuff, he said, I just don't really go for that. But I have my own relationship with God. I talk to Him and He talks to me. Friend, you need to realize that if you're not in this book and you don't know Jesus Christ, you do not know God and God does not know you. He thought that he knew God, but God was nowhere to be found in his life because he would not have anything to do with his son. And Christ is the Word of God. He's his Word. So I want to ask you today, have you spoken back to Christ? Have you given your heart to him? Maybe you're here and you say, Revis, I know that I'm saved. If you know you're saved, would you raise up your hand real quick so I can see it? Revis, I know that I'm saved. You can put it right back down. Maybe you say, Revis, I know that I'm not saved. I realize that God has made a way to save me. God is reaching out to me this morning. He's speaking to my heart. And I raise my hand. I recognize that. Is there anybody like that? You just raise up your hand real quick. I want to ask you today, for Christians, you've been saved. But friend, just because you're saved doesn't mean God's done speaking with you. Maybe God's telling you to do something today. Maybe God's giving you a charge or a challenge to do something for Him. Maybe He's trying to convict you of where you are spiritually. Don't put Him off. Why don't you talk to Him? These altars are open. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word. God, I pray that you'd bless it like nobody else can. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you? Sing. These altars are open right now. All you've got to do is slip out. We'd be happy to pray with you.
Who is that calling for me to come? Come and be saved from sin. Who is that knocking at my heart's door, wanting to be led?
Sing another verse. These altars are open.
Who is that following after me? Trouble my sleep at night. Who is that asking for my poor heart? Say, sure.
you for being in God's house this morning. We're glad to have everybody here, and I appreciate the Lord being so good to us. I'd like to make a few announcements, please. Remember, we, of course, tomorrow, the receiving of friends of Brother Jake will be in Kiker Funeral Home in Harriman, 4 to 7. The service will follow. If you can, we ask that you go to support this family, Sister Mary Ann, be praying for them. Have all your food here by 10:15 Tuesday morning for Sister Mona to take. We have several things this up and coming weekend that we're excited about. For the teenagers, 13 and up, we're having a lock-in here at the church. Brother Jonathan is heading that up with several other chaperones. The boys will be locked in over there, and the girls will be locked in over here, all right? They'll have a great big cemetery in between them and a ball field and everything else, so they'll be completely safe from each other, and so you can bring them if you're able. Also, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. will be our closed drive every Saturday at the end of the month, unless otherwise announced, and service starts at 10 o'clock, and brief service, and then the closed drive if you're able to do that. And we're also excited, Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, we're having the dedication service for baby Maverick, and we're excited for that. We're excited. Brother Wayne will be preaching the dedication message. If you're able to come and be with us, we invite you. If you're going to stay for the food, please let Brother Andy know if it's not already too late, Brother Andy. He's going to be cooking for anybody that can come and wants to stay. We appreciate that. I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be a very joyous time, but a time to set aside some prayer and devotion for not only this baby, but for our next generation, that God would help us. So we're excited for that. Any other announcements before we dismiss today? Anything at all? That's right. August the 6th, ain't it? August the 6th. On Saturday, Sister Faye Ladd's family will be having a surprise birthday party for her, and the church has invited her 80th birthday party. We ask that you please also pray for Sister Faye. She's not been feeling well this week either, and so we ask that God would help her. Also, anybody that can support for her birthday party, and we'll announce that again before then, and probably won't put it in the bulletin in case she comes, but you remember that, and I'll announce it again. All right, anything else? August the 7th, that's right, August the 7th, on a Saturday, I believe. All right. Brother Marcus, would you dismiss us in prayer today?